I'd like to recognize my colleagues on this research who are in the room. Dr. Kelly Ding, way in the back, who's our statistical wizard on site at Kent State University. Dr. Amy Thompson from the University of Toledo, who started a cancer survivorship center there that is run mostly by graduate students, so really a unique model. And I'm proud to be associated with those individuals. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So according to the Institute of Medicine, and I think a lot of us have used that report as a basis for statistical information, lesbians and bisexual women have a greater likelihood of sexual risk, a higher prevalence of ATOD use, and similar or higher rates of pregnancy than heterosexual females. In most studies, however, or in many studies in the literature, these groups have been combined, and the Institute of Medicine recommends that they be looked at individually because lesbians are not necessarily really a lot like bisexual women. So we need to look at those groups individually. Also, for this study, I should say that sexual orientation was measured by the individual's self-identification. So the question that was asked was how they identified. And now many studies are using a combination of three measurements for sexual orientation, looking at behavior, attraction, as well as identification. As far as sexually transmitted infections, although STIs are common in women, they are less common in lesbians, and bisexual women have higher rates of viral STDs than lesbians, but even in that 15 to 24-year-old age group, we know that nearly half of all new cases of STDs occur annually. As far as looking at some of the risk factors and related to the screenings that we looked at, for cancer, we know that adolescence is the best time to modify those risk factors, and lesbian and bisexual women have a higher prevalence of risk factors. For example, we know alcohol has been related to breast cancer, tobacco, to nearly every cancer in the body. Overweight, obesity is also an issue. And physical activity levels, as well as the diet, are all part of that cancer risk factor analysis. Also, lower rates of parity and birth control pill use are common among lesbian and bisexual women. So health screenings provide us an opportunity to look at some of the risk factors and address them with women. However, I think many women get confused about the recommendations because they seem to change quite a bit and have changed over time. In fact, the time that we did this, or the data that we looked at was from 2008 and 2009, and the recommendations changed since that time. And the recommendations come from a variety of organizations, and like the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, the American Cancer Society, the American Congress of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and the CDC. So there doesn't seem to be one place that most people go. And some of these recommendations for screening have caused sort of an uproar. For example, when the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force said that breast cancer screening was not recommended, breast health exam, because it may do more harm than good. So that caused kind of an uproar because it had been recommended for so long, and that is the most current recommendation. So now the recommendation is for annual gynecological appointments, which include chlamydia and gonorrhea tests for sexually active women at 18 to 25. And we were looking specifically at college women. Also, the Pap test recommendation has changed. Now it's for every 3 years starting at age 21. As you may recall, it used to be 3 years after the first intercourse or by age 21. So at first thought, you think that might miss some cervical cancer issues, but they really feel it is not needed until age 21 at this point. Breast self-assessment is a term that's been used a lot by Susan G. Komen Foundation, just examining the breasts to see if there are any changes, observable changes, knowing your own body and reporting any changes like that to your doctor. And the American Cancer Society still says breast self-exams for women in their 20s they don't go as far as to say recommended, but kind of optional. And then HIV antibody testing and counseling, the recommendation is now during a routine physical exam at least once, but they don't say annually, so it's, you know, one time. Okay, so some of the research that has been done on lesbians and bisexual women regarding these screening tests: lesbians are less likely to have gynecological exams and pap tests, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Bisexual women usually are found to have more sexual partners, but also have higher screening rates for HIV and more gynecological exams. And lesbians and bisexual women have more STI and HIV screenings. Bisexual women have higher sexual risk behaviors. So this is just from a number of studies. So the purpose of this particular study was to compare self-identified lesbian and bisexual and heterosexual undergraduate women on three preventive screening behaviors, which included gynecological exams, HIV antibody testing, and breast self-exams, which were recommended at the time the data was collected. We also wanted to look at associations between sexual orientation and screenings, and sexual orientation and sexual behavior, including number of partners, types of sexual intercourse, and condom or protective barrier use. What we used for data was a pre-existing data set, and this was 3 semesters of the ACHA National College Health Assessment data, the NCHA-2, from the fall of 2008, spring 2009, and fall 2009. This data set is free and readily available to be used. You just have to request it. We also delimited our sample to only undergraduate students. We looked at 18 to 25-year-olds because we wanted to look at traditional age college students. We excluded international students. We also did not include individuals that identified as transgender. And really the reason that we didn't was because on the NCHA-2, they only asked under gender, are you male, female, or transgender? But they don't ask the sex assigned at birth. So we had no way of knowing whether they were male to female or female to male. And we also couldn't tell from the questions, because the questions asked, have you or your partner used whatever, like contraceptive or that type of thing. So it was they need to revise the instrument and include the 2-question identifiers there for trans. Also, this is a large data set with the 3 semesters, over 60,000 heterosexual women, 727 lesbians, and 2,094 bisexual women. So it was over 63,000 women that we looked at in the data set. As probably you know, more and more young women are identifying as bisexual, and probably over the last decade, it's becoming more common to do so. So with our data analysis, we use SPSS. We also use SAS version 9.2. Descriptive statistics were reported. We did chi-square tests to look at the association between prevention, screening test experience, and sexual orientation. We use regression models to look at relative risk of varying sexual orientations performing this preventive screening test. And the breast self-exam would be analyzed only for those 20 years or older, because the recommendation was that you do it in your 20s. So here are some of the results. More bisexual women have had screening tests overall than lesbian or heterosexual women. Lesbians in our study, similar to the research that's been done before, were 0.70 times as likely to have a routine gynecological exam than heterosexual women. Bisexual women were 1.1 times as likely to have a routine gynecological exam than heterosexual women, and 1.5 times as likely as lesbians. Bisexual women were 1.5 times as likely as heterosexual women to be tested for HIV, and 1.4 times as likely as lesbians to be tested for HIV. And bisexual women were more likely to perform breast self-exam than either lesbians or heterosexual women. Also, in terms of sexual behaviors, bisexual women reported the highest percentages of oral, vaginal, and anal sex as compared to lesbians and heterosexual women. And lesbian and bi women reported more oral sex than heterosexual women. And bisexual women were less likely to use condoms, protective barriers for vaginal sex, but more likely to use them for anal sex. So the research is important because it looks at, number one, college students, a subset of LGBT women, and it looks at them as separate groups rather than combining the groups. And combining the groups has been problematic in the past because it can mask differences between the groups. For example, even the American College Health Association said, we found no difference between heterosexual women and lesbian and bisexual women for gynecological exams. However, they combined the lesbian and bi women for their analysis. And from our research, bi women are much more likely to get gynecological exams, and lesbians are much less likely. So when you combine them, it kind of evens out. So it looks like they're the same as the heterosexual women. So that causes a type 1 error. That's why it shouldn't happen. You shouldn't combine the groups. Also, it reinforces some of the findings of other adult women. Also, decreased screening practices may be detrimental to health. For example, with lesbians and gynecological exams, the non-screeners are less likely to disclose their sexual orientation to healthcare providers. That also may be why they are not going to get the exams, because many providers are not sensitive. They might ask general questions that they would ask in a heterosexist manner. For example, are you sexually active? And if the lesbian says yes, do you use contraceptives? No. Are you trying to get pregnant? No. And so then it leaves them to say, well, they look at them like they have three heads and say, what's going on? So many lesbians in this kind of a situation feel like they have to out themselves, and some don't want to do that, so they just don't go. At least that's one theory of this. Another was because lesbians in other studies, they said they were less likely to have health care or health insurance. However, in our study, the vast majority of students were covered. Many of them were still on their parents' insurance. So that didn't seem to be the case in our study. Also, we found the bisexual women doing more screening than anyone, and they also had a greater number of sexual partners. So our idea or hypothesis about that is they may be hypervigilant about their health screenings because they know they're practicing riskier behaviors. Also, we feel they need to be targeted more in safer sex campaigns. Some other implications. We need to target media and educational interventions to each group of the LGBT spectrum. Also, campus health officials should provide some types of social norming campaigns around screening and preventive care. And health professionals need to be aware of differences and address them in a culturally sensitive manner. Diversity training is needed in university health centers, and many are doing that, but many others are not. Also, while women exams are important and may be used to discuss reproductive health, safer sex, STI testing, or offer the HPV vaccine. Healthcare forms, intake forms, should be sensitive to LGBT clients. Many health centers, because the insurance will not cover certain things, will not even ask questions in a sensitive manner. So to conclude, lesbians and bisexual college women do have different health screening practices than heterosexual women. The health screening provides an opportunity for education and prevention. Bisexual college women have greater sexual health risk behaviors than lesbians or heterosexual women, but also have higher rates of reproductive health screenings. Rather than maybe having those screenings, it might be better to do prevention. Campus health promotion staff need to address the unique health needs of LGBTQ populations with educational programming and support, and campus health center staff should be provided with diversity training, also sensitive intake forms and other best practices. I do have copies of this article that was published in Women's Health Issues. And so if anybody wants a copy, I think there's enough for everybody that is here today. And feel free to contact me. My email is there. Thank you very much.